Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Scott Mader. In 2011, Scott and his wife, Carrie, started Inspired Stewardship as a business to serve Christian men and couples who are struggling to live out their calling. They help align the way you use your time, your talent, and your treasures so that you can identify and live a fully authentic life that allows you to authentically live your calling, serve others, and provide for your family. In 2017, they took the business full time, and we are so glad to have Scott with us today. Thanks for being here, Scott.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here. There's so many questions I have, so I'm going to start with this one. Why do you think people believe that time and money are the things that hold them back from living their passion?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think a lot of times we, in not just in time and money, but in other areas too, we look at what I would consider the symptom, and we think that that's the problem. And I see time and money as kind of indicative of that kind of pattern. What happens is, and think about it. I mean, when you ask people, how are you doing? What's everybody answer? Oh, I'm busy. You know, and it's almost like it's a badge of honor. I'm busy.
Right.
Is busy actually a good thing? Well, it depends. What are you busy doing? You know, are you busy doing the right things, or are you just juggling a bunch of balls in the air and, you know, moving paper from one side of the room to the other and, you know, digging a hole and not even knowing why you're digging it? You know, that kind of thing happens a lot in time. And then I see the exact same behaviors in money where people will say, you know, I don't have enough money to go do the thing I feel like I'm called to do, you know, or I've got golden handcuffs. This career that I'm in is keeping me trapped here because it's paying me well. And then I've got debt and other things and a mortgage and family. And so it's always, I don't have enough time or I don't have enough money. But the reality is both of those things are really a symptom of how deep down you're not aligning your money or your time with your actual priorities and values, what's really important to you. And usually that comes about because you haven't done the hard work of actually figuring out what are your values, what are your goals, what are you trying to achieve? You know, it's not even that we don't align them. It's sometimes we don't even know what to align them to because we haven't done that first step of figuring it out.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So what, you know, how do we figure that out?
So it's not easy, obviously, because if it was easy, then everybody would just do it and it would be perfect. And the other thing I want to say, and then I'll actually give you some tips and some things that people can do and take action on, because I always believe in giving people, you know, actual tangible things they can do, is when we do this kind of work, I think a lot of times we think we just answer that question one time. You know, what do I want to be when I grow up, right? Mm. Or what do I want to do? Or what is my calling? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I put? And it's like, it feels like a kind of question that you ask one time and you get an answer and you're done. And instead, I make the analogy that it's more like putting together a puzzle. But on top of just putting together a puzzle where, you know, you've got to fit the pieces together, the picture that's on the outside of the box changes over time.
Yeah.
And what pieces are in the box change over time. You know, sometimes it's like, wait, I've got extra pieces. Where did these come from? These are from somebody else's puzzle. This isn't even my puzzle. You know, this somebody else threw some pieces in my box. And other times it's like, wait, I don't have all the pieces that I need yet. I'm missing some pieces. So my point to saying that is this isn't the kind of thing that you just do one time and you're all done and it's ended. So some of the things you can do to get an inkling, I'll give you two quick exercises or questions to think about. One is the looking back exercise, right? So that's sitting down, and this especially works better if you're someone of a more mature age, I'll just put it that way, where you look back and you look at all the things you've done and you harvest it for what are the things that about all of the things I've done that I've enjoyed, that I've loved, that I felt like they give me energy, they give me life. And then what are the things that I haven't enjoyed and I haven't felt give me energy and maybe don't really feel like they give me life. And you put those lists down, right? Of these are the good things, these are the bad things. And by the way, every job you've had, every activity you've done, I'm not just talking about career stuff here. It could be relationships. It could be family stuff. It could be volunteer work. It could be whatever, right? All components of your life. And then begin to look for patterns. What are the things that are in common amongst those things that give me energy? And what are the things that are in common about those things that don't give me energy? And what you're looking for there is themes that you can pull from that are the direction you want to experiment and put energy into testing to be the thing that, you know, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is more in alignment with what I'm supposed to be doing. And don't get me wrong, it's never going to be perfect. There is nothing out there where you do 100% of the stuff you love and 0% of the stuff that you don't like. I mean, you know, trust me, if you found that, yeah, let me know, because, you know, you have found the holy grail, right? But what you are able to do is align more and more where, you know, maybe it's 60-40 and then it's 70-30 and then it's, you know, 80-20 or whatever, that you can kind of get more in that direction, never necessarily reach perfection. The other exercise is kind of the looking forward exercise. And again, this works for anybody, but it sometimes works better or works well, even if you don't have this long base of I've done 50 different things. And so I call it the airport question. Imagine for a moment you're walking through an airport, and as you get to where your flight's going to leave, you've discovered that the flight has been canceled, and you now got a four-hour layover to wait for the next flight. You weren't planning on it. You're kind of stuck in the airport. It's long enough that you've got to go find something to do, but it's short enough that you don't want to leave and go, you know, gallivanting around the city or anything.
Right.
So you go, what anyone does stuck in an airport for 4 hours, you go find a place to grab a bite to eat or get a drink. You know, you go to the bar or you go to the restaurant. You go hang out there. And as you're walking in, you see a friend who you haven't seen for 5 years. And you say, oh, great. So nice to see you. Turns out they've got a layover too. And y'all go grab a corner booth, sit down with your food and your drink. And your friend looks at you and says, hey, how have the last 5 years been treating you? And imagine for a minute that this occurs 5 years in the future, 5 years from today. And mm-hmm. you say, this has been the best 5 years of my life because, and your job is to tell me what comes after the word because, you know, uh-huh. in other words, what is that picture that would yeah. make you tell this best friend, man, this has been the best years of my life. My relationships have been good. My work has been good. All of the different components of my life are firing all cylinders. Well, what would that look like? It's a framework for helping you dream and kind of think about what direction do you want to go. And again, it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to hit that exact ideal picture, but that's not the point. The point is to get more and more with aligned, you know, aligning your values and your priorities over time. And again, bringing it back to the money and the time part that you mentioned earlier, that's what lets us then look at our money and time and go, wait a minute, I'm spending a lot of time on XYZ, or I'm spending a lot of money on XYZ, and that's not moving me in the direction I want to go. So I need to say yes to the things that are moving me that direction, which makes it much easier to then say no to other things.
So I love those two exercises. excuse me. But the question that is sitting in my head is, do you find that even though some people go through these exercises, they still have some reluctance or, I don't know, fear around, you know, shifting some of the things that need to be shifted?
Only the human people. the robots are pretty good at it, you know.
That's the key.
Right. Yeah. As long as you're a robot, it's easy. Now, obviously, that's not easy. Change is never easy, right?
Yeah.
It's always easier to stay, you know, it's kind of the old, the devil I know is better than the devil I don't know, right?
Right.
You know, even if it's uncomfortable where you are, you know, that one of the expressions is the pain of the change has to, you know, be outweighed by the pain of the same.
Yeah.
Meaning it hurts worse to stay here than it does to move.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
If I'm sitting on the stove and I keep turning the temperature up, at some point you get off the stove.
Yeah.
And that is one way. I mean, I do see people that change because, you know, it hurts to be here and I don't want to be here anymore. So, you know, please stop hitting me over the head with a stick. What do I need to do to make it stop? But better than that is when you can look at it and step back and go, wait a minute, it's not hurting necessarily yet. You know, this isn't painful. But instead of moving away from pain, move towards more joy or more energy or more life-giving activities, whatever frame you want to put on it. I call it being more in alignment with what I'm designed to do, you know, what I've put on this earth to do.
Right.
But at the same time, you can frame it however you want to. It just means saying yes to better as opposed to saying no to bad.
Yeah.
Right. Moving towards something instead of away from something. When you can do that, and the only way you can do that is it has to be a big enough something. That dream has to be big enough to motivate you through the discomfort of the change. I call it finding your big passionate why. And we spend a lot of time on that. And by the way, your big passionate why will change over time.
Yeah.
And your why is not a goal. This is not, I want to get out of debt. That's a goal. And I know it's a goal because it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. I want to get out of debt. I'm getting out of debt. I've gotten out of debt. You know, anything that you can kind of say begins, middle, and end, it's a goal. Goals are important. Goals are not bad, but that's not a why. The why is that emotional driver underneath that. Why do you want to get out of debt? Well, I want more freedom. I want more flexibility. I want to be able to change jobs. I want to be, you know, I want to have more safety, more security, more whatever. It tends to be those emotional words as opposed to those action words. And you need both things. You need goals in your life, but you also need that passionate why that's big enough to move you towards something as opposed to running away from pain as a way to really motivate you to go through that. Because you're right. There's fear. There's doubt. There's all sorts of things that will hold you in the place where you're comfortable, keep you in the status quo, unless you can tap into enough of a reason to move out of it that then motivates you to go through the pain, because it will be painful,
right,
of changing.
Right, right. And what I'm hearing is it can't be anyone else's why. Like no one can tell
not.
You, right?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're married, or in a relationship and you have a partner and, you know, like, let's say you're a small business owner and you do the business on your own, but you have a spouse or a significant other. Guess what? The two of you need to talk about your whys and get some alignment in them, too, because the worst thing in the world is when your why ends up pushing your partner away because you have different whys that are so dramatically different. You're going in opposite directions. Now, again, they're never going to be perfectly 100%. Everything is the same. Quite frankly, if two people in a relationship are 100% identical, one of them's not needed. You know, you need differences. You know, you need that person that looks at you and goes, do you really want to do that? Really? You know, but you need that balance, and you need some opposites and that kind of thing. There is truth in opposites attract, but you still need to have that underlying emotional drive of, hey, are we kind of going the same direction here? Have we hooked our horses to the same cart, you know, and we're kind of moving the same direction? Because then all of a sudden, when those hard times come up, and maybe, you know, somebody has to work longer than they wanted to, or somebody has to get a second job, or mm-hmm. you're giving up something that it's like, you know, we really kind of want to go on vacation, but we're going to skip a vacation this year because it's better for us to get towards our goals. At least you're in agreement because you both have that same core driver underneath it that's moving you in that direction. So yeah, right. It absolutely has to be personal and be your own.
Yeah, right. Okay, but now on the other side, talk about why it's important invest in others. You know, like I get we're investing in ourselves, but what's the value in investing in others as well?
Right. So I talk about four different things kind of as a broad framework, and it starts with investing in yourself. And that's what we've been talking about so far. And then, like you said, the second step that I talk about is investing in others. I then talk about developing your influence and impacting the world. And we could talk about those as well, if you'd like to. But when I'm talking about investing in others, what I mean by that is none of us are an island. None of us exist in isolation from other human beings. I'm a real introvert, and there are days that I wish we could do that, but it isn't. You know, we just can't. We have to interact with other people. And investing in others is finding out when you're on a journey and you're moving along and you begin to do things, what can you do to find people that are maybe a step or two behind you? They don't have to be miles behind you. You don't have to be the guru and the expert that knows everything, but being along the journey with you. And that you can begin to pour into them, to mentor them, to teach them, to coach them, to do other whatever it is. And the other thing that happens is as you do that, you begin to get feedback on, wait a minute, is this direction that I think I should be going in the right one? Because if you're pouring into people and they're not responding, usually it's because there's a misalignment in here somewhere. So it gives you feedback so that you can begin to make adjustments, and it becomes a loop between, you know, building yourself up and then pouring into others, which then leads to you building yourself up more so that you can pour into others more so that you can build yourself more. And it begins to feed back on itself in a positive feedback loop, as opposed to a negative feedback loop that happens so often when we just get trapped in that status quo and that quicksand of the same.
I see. Okay. And excuse me. And then you said there were two other areas, influence and
impact.
Impact, right. So talk about those if you would.
Influence kind of comes naturally from the first two. If I'm working on myself and then I'm impacting others and going out and teaching and helping and growing and building others, naturally over time, what ends up happening is you become an influencer, not used in the modern sense of the word, in that there is naturally some expertise and some influence that you have around that topic. I've had the situation where, in a Facebook group, just to use that as an example, where you're constantly the person that's answering a particular question. You know, people ask the financial question, Scott jumps in there and gives them some tips. Then somebody else asks a different financial question. Scott jumps in there and gives them some tips. And I'm not going in there and asking, you know, hey, hire me. I can help you. I'm just helping people. What ends up happening is before too long, people start tagging Scott whenever somebody asks a financial question. You know, it's like, oh, Scott answers these. Here, Scott, make sure you pay attention to this question. That's actually an example of influence naturally developing. And then guess what? Some of those people actually go check out my page and go listen to my podcast, go read my book, go do whatever, and come back and are like, hey, I'd like to talk to you about working with you. So I'm actually developing a business without necessarily going out and, you know, that's not the goal. The goal is to just help others, invest in others. And out of that naturally comes influence. And you'll notice the third one, which is impact. because I'm developing influence, I begin to make an impact on people. It begins to help other people change their life, move them in a different direction, change their trajectory. So the, you know, really it all comes from starting with the hard work, which is investing in yourself,
right,
and then beginning to kind of step through these others, and they naturally occur one from the other, and they all feed back, because guess what? You begin to have influence and impact. You've got to go back to the beginning and begin to develop yourself even more, because you're going to get pushed harder. You're going to get need to step out more. You're going to have to develop some new skills. You're going to have to develop something else that maybe you didn't have to have at the beginning. You know, what got you to the first step won't get you to the last step. You've got to keep growing to get through the whole process.
I think that's one of the biggest points of all of this, that, you know, and we started the conversation with it, that it changes over time. And
absolutely.
So, right, because you change over time. And as you said, then the players in your world change over time. And so it's never static. You can't ever really just sit in it and say, okay, great, I've arrived.
Right, right. If you say I'm done growing,
yeah,
then you actually begin to move backwards.
Yeah. Right.
And one of my friends is a health coach. And one of the things he tells people is, you know, if you stop eating right and exercising and doing the things that, you know, are the things that you said you want to do, you don't just maintain at the same place. You go backwards. Right.
Right.
You gain weight. You lose fitness. You aren't as limber or as stretchy as you used to be. And, you know, all of that happens. And, you know, I can attest to this. I've seen that happen. I think we've all gone to that period where it's like, oh yeah, guess what? I need to actually go for a walk occasionally,
yeah,
instead of just walking to the refrigerator and seeing what's in there. You know, that kind of thing. And it's true. The same thing is true of all components of our life. You know, if we stop growing and moving forward, we don't just maintain at the same level. We actually begin to slide backwards in a way.
Yeah, right. And it's so important that, yeah, you just can't stop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And besides, it's fun.
Well,
you know, I don't want to make this sound like, oh great, I got to get on the treadmill every day. You know, it's like, you know, guess what? When I'm healthier, I'm happier.
You know,
when I eat better, I feel better. I've got control over my finances, I feel more safe and secure and less afraid. When I've got control over my time, I feel like, you know, hey, if I need to take a couple of days off and go do something, I can do that. You know, you've got more control. Ironically, having discipline and structure creates more freedom, not less, which sounds counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like if I put structure in my life, I can't be spontaneous and do whatever I want. It's like, well, actually, by creating structure, it allows you to have spontaneity in a way that doesn't harm you, which is weird.
It's weird, but it's a great point. Because
but it's true.
I agree. Yeah, I think people feel they're going to be constrained, but it's liberating.
Yeah, that's why people don't want to do a budget or a spending plan.
Right.
It's like, oh, if I put it down on paper, then I actually have to do it. It's like, yeah but you're the one that's putting it down. If you don't want to do it, don't put it down. It's like, you're in control of this. You know, but it is, there's a degree to which you have to confront that reality and recognize that, believe it or not, having structure and discipline actually creates more freedom and flexibility, not less.
Exactly. Yeah. Scott, this is great. I really appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much for spending this time with us. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you, please?
Absolutely. I actually put together a page for just your listeners,
and
they can find it over at inspiredstewardship.com/accelerate.
Okay.
And if you go there, I've got a page. It's got some free resources, some free tips that they can get. It's got some information about a book I've got coming out in a few months. It's got a few different, you know, just basically some free stuff. None of it. The only thing that would cost you any money is if you do want to go buy a copy of my book, that will actually cost you money. Everything else on there is free. There's even a place where you can set up a call. If anyone's heard anything in this today that resonates and they're like, I'd just like to have a chat, no hard sales pitch. I'm not, you know, that's not my style, but just as a chance to have a chat or ask another question. Or if you wanted some of those exercises, they can actually get them there at that page. So again, that's at inspiredstewardship.com/accelerate.
Awesome. I'll make sure that's in the show notes. And thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Well, listeners, this was another good one. So as always, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.